Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome to episode 11 of the BFG podcast. We are back after an extra week hiatus. I had some family in town, but we got a good show for you guys today. I just was able to add some more topics. So before we begin, as always, Tyler, what has been going on for the past 3 weeks since we clearly did not see each other at all?
Mostly this.
I just realized we are not in your office right now.
Yeah.
Oh.
If you're watching, there's a clear difference between where we are recording this week. If you are listening, you might still notice a difference because I think the microphone is a little bit further away from us. I've kind of got it just set up here in the living room.
Just turn your volume on really loud is all you got to do.
Yeah, while we're cleaning up here.
So... But yes, anyway, and by the way, as we are in an open space now, I'm not going to be hot. That's number one.
Yeah, it'll be nice and cool out here because this room has ventilation.
It does. And just so you guys know, Tyler does have a couple pups, a couple dogs that are packed away. So if you're scratching or crying, it's not a human trying to get out.
It might be.
It might be.
My wife is also back there.
Yes, so anything can happen in the hour and a half that we do this. So you're cleaning up,
mm-hmm.
You're getting ready to move.
Mm-hmm.
So we're out in the open.
Yes.
There it is right there. If you can hear it, that is awesome.
I try to keep it balanced pretty well with the gain and, you can set it to different modes. So you can set it to bi-directional. So it'll hear like in front and behind, and you can also set it for like full range. So it'll hear like 360 around the microphone. I think I've got it set for omnidirectional. So it should only be picking up what's in front of it.
Okay.
Or at least clearly. So I'm like, you and I should be picked up pretty clearly, but the stuff back there, I'm hoping will get muffled enough that it won't be picked up or you won't hear it very well.
But even if you do hear it, it just shows the professionalism of the show.
Yeah.
11 episodes in.
Or the lack thereof.
We do a show?
No.
Okay. So what else is going on, Tyler, before I take the spotlight?
I mean, more or less, it's the same stuff. You know, we went to see a couple movies.
We did.
I've been playing more video games.
Yes.
Been packing up. I think that's it as far as like big life news right now. There hasn't been a whole lot of like big changes.
Well, that's...
I did finally get to start Gloomhaven, which we can talk about in a little bit.
Okay. All right, what's going on with me? Well, we are in the holiday glutton. You know, we talked about that at the end of September that, you know, this is really when all those big games come out, which a couple of them are on my list that I keep in front of me that I wrote up the other day. So we'll be talking about a couple of those. And really, that's not too much at the moment. Yeah, some family in town, which is why we missed a week. And other than that, really, you know, it's been very same old, just doing work, chugging along,
mm-hmm.
watching the Bills lose. Most of the time I have a new hat, by the way, that I... brought out. If those watching can tell, it's from one of my favorites of all time. But you know, so I wanted to be one of these people, so I got to wear it backwards and not bend the rim. So I think I look pretty good. I don't know. What do you think, Tyler? You think I look good?
Yeah, I think you look fine.
Okay, I don't believe you.
I wear mine backwards because I got a really big head.
Yeah, so do I. I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to argue at all. So with all that being said, why don't we jump right into this one? Because we got a pretty big show today. So we're going to start with a movie that is the oldest movie that we've saw so far. And it stars
the oldest movie that we watched over the last few weeks.
Yes, yes. And it's one that I wasn't even sure I'd be interested in seeing. And then you kind of talked me into it. But it has Jack Black in it. So you automatically know it's a 10.
Yes.
Yes.
So the couple weeks ago, we went to see School of Rock.
Yes. Fantastic movie. Or Tenacious D.
Or Nacho Libre. Or any of the other ones we could have seen except for the one we actually watched.
But the movie we're in question is called A House with a Clock in Its Walls. And this one is kind of like a...
Whenever we went, whenever they gave us our tickets, they always abbreviate our movie tickets.
Yes.
And, I mean, you know, they do it for, like, obviously they do it because the tickets are only so big and they have to fit the title on there. So sometimes they use acronyms or sometimes they just use, like, abbreviations of all the words or something like that to make it try to fit. This one on our ticket was just called The House with a Clock, which is just a house at point. I mean, if your house doesn't have a clock, then, you know, it's... you're kind of screwed a
pretty
little bit.
Much.
Everybody's got their smartphones now, but still, it's like, the house with a clock is just the house.
It's just a house.
Yeah, so it was basically just 2 hours of Jack Black sitting around, like, looking at the time.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So yeah. Moving on. No.
Instant classic. 10
instant
out of 10.
Classic. Because it's Jack Black. I could not have picked a better actor to do it. honestly, this one to me was a little bit different. I didn't read the books. I didn't even know it was a book, to be honest with you. Because, mm-hmm. you know, I'm an uncultured swine. And
but we forgive you for that.
Well, thank you. Just give me time. Don't worry. I'm sure I'll screw up in this episode. Okay. So, to me, this movie was very different. It was kind of I don't know if I want to say sci-fi horror. It was a horror-esque...
I'd say...
Mythical?
It was more or less like a kid-friendly horror. It was very much in the vein of, like, Goosebumps rather than, like, an actual horror film.
Yeah, we were calling it Goosebumps 1.5.
So. Yeah. that was kind of the joke. We called it Goosebumps 1.5. We called it... the house with Jack Black in its walls. We've called it. What else did I think we had a few other names for it too? But it's more or less just it's like the one of those like borderline scary movies where it's like there's enough spooky stuff that it might kind of creep out the kids a little bit. But for all intents and purposes, it's not like a true horror movie. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a family friendly horror comedy.
Absolutely.
More or less.
Absolutely. And really, to me, I actually got a kick out of this movie. I really did. You know, going in, I kind of was like, yeah, okay, you know, Jack Black, you know, I like him. He's a good guy. You know, he's a guy. He's there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought that this movie actually really did fairly well. I thought it was a little bit different of what he normally does. He's like, I forget what he said he was. He's not a mage, but he learned to use magic and he had a house. This is minor spoilers, but it's kind of like the plot. So it's not really spoiling anything huge. Where his nephew's parents were killed. He had to go and live with Jack Black, the uncle. And
it turns out Jack Black is basically a wizard. He doesn't call himself... I don't think he calls himself a wizard. He has like a different name for it. But it, more or less, it's about how Jack Black is a wizard trying to raise his nephew.
Pretty much. And obviously... And
I was also going to say, it's kind of like a coming-of-age tale. Because the main part of the movie is like the boy... trying to kind of find his footing, like, at school while also, like, learning about all this wizardry stuff. It's almost like a Harry Potter kind of vibe.
Yeah. You know, it was very good. It was a little different than I thought it was going to be. I would say one gripe I had with it that is kind of, like, never really finished up in the end. It was the stereotypical bully. That at the this is a minor-ish spoiler, not a big one, where you know the
so kid, this one just real quick.
Yes,
I know I keep interrupting you. That's like all I've done so far this episode, but I need to say
and
real
the
quick.
The other 10. Go ahead.
This episode
is gonna have some spoilers.
Most
no
of the time
way we could hide this.
The
one.
First couple episodes we did spoilers. We were just like we're just gonna deep dive into these movies or whatever and talk about what we want to talk about. Then we kind of went for episode, I think it was like 3 through 10. Everything we reviewed, we were like, we're going to keep it spoiler free. We want to keep it so that way we can give you guys a review without spoiling anything. Mm-hmm. And that way you guys can go enjoy it on your own. This episode specifically, I'm going to go ahead and say spoilers. And normally I'm the stickler for it. Mike wants to give spoilers. Mike wants to deep dive. And I'm normally the one who's like, let's try to leave it spoiler free for the audience. This episode, I'm not going to do that because I know Mike and I are going to have some very different opinions, especially about the next movie coming up. Not necessarily this one. I think this one we're more or less on the same page.
Yes.
But our next movie coming up, we're going to kind of fight back and forth a little bit. And I don't think we can do that as effectively if we go spoiler free. So coming up, I'm just going to go ahead and give you guys a spoiler warning right now and let you know we're going to kind of deep dive into these movies and just talk about whatever we want to talk about.
Yes,
so,
absolutely.
Now, moving forward from there, you have been forewarned that we're not holding back this episode.
So anyway, as I was saying about the stereotypical bully, it was, you know, this new kid comes into town, doesn't really have a lot of friends. Of course, he's being picked on because, you know, it's a staple for movies nowadays. New kid always has to get picked on. Mm-hmm. So they have before they show us the bully, you know, he's got a broken arm. He takes in the kid, trying to run for like class president or something. Mm-hmm. And then right after his arm healed, you find out he's like captain of the football team. He's captain of the baseball team. You know, he's the stereotypical 11-year-old jock at this point.
Yeah.
So still trying to be friends with him. The boy pretty much says, hey, you know, I've got something that can, you know, help you out. You'll throw a perfect pitch every time, all that. And he steals the book. where Jack Black says, hey, I've got one rule in this house, don't go near this book, and, you know, he essentially raises the dead, which is a no-no. But the one problem I had with that
normally is... Normally it is.
Yes. I mean, if you want to raise the dead, go ahead. I don't care. I'm getting off track.
We don't judge.
We don't judge at all. We're good people. But the one problem that I had, and I'm not going to get into like the overview of the movie after like the main villain was risen, is that there was no closure or anything with the bully. They just kind of like, eh, you're the bully. Eh, you did this. I don't care.
He was a plot device.
He was essentially just that.
The first half, they used him as kind of like a character development arc. Because they kind of had this thing where they had the main boy kind of learning about, you know, school jerks. They had the main boy kind of learn his main lesson about, you know, like how people are and stuff like that from this jerk at school.
Yes.
And, you know, how to find like true friends and things like that. And the boy grows out of it. But after the first half of the movie, the boy becomes a plot device. His sole purpose in this movie becomes, we need a reason for the main kid to steal this book that he's been told not to steal.
Mm-hmm.
And so once that's kind of been resolved and the kid steals the book, the bad, like the jerky kid is just kind of inconsequential now.
Yep.
He was a plot device at that point.
He literally runs away.
And then I think you see him like in passing at the end where, you know, like the main kid like kind of waves at him, like the main kid has kind of blown it off and forgiven him, and the bad kid just kind of like scowls at him or something like that. But you're not wrong. There wasn't much. He wasn't really involved after he had used up his usefulness.
Pretty much, yeah. It's just one of those things where it's like, oh well. But, you know, overall, I thought this was a very different type of movie, which, you know, it wasn't one that I probably would have seen myself unless Tyler didn't push me as hard.
I think it was kind of a mutual thing both ways. It was one of those, neither one of us were like super stoked for it, but we were like, dude, you know.
Why not?
We hang out just about every weekend. You know, it's like we normally either do the podcast or do video games or do a movie or something.
Mm-hmm.
So we were like, we should like go see this movie because it looks kind of interesting, and we were both somewhat interested. So I think I kind of pushed to like do it as like our weekend thing this time.
Yeah, no, it's been a while since we saw the movie before then because, you know, we kind of were in the summer lull.
Yeah.
But
and we were doing like more games and things. Yes. We'd gotten real wrapped up in like other stuff.
So overall, you know, it was a very good popcorn movie. You know, I enjoyed it. Definitely something to see again. I think it had enough for the kids, obviously, which it was geared towards, as well as young adults or people, man-child like us, to go and see and then talk about it on a podcast.
And there have been a few movies like this, especially over the last few years. But I think for me, what this movie did that I really liked was it kind of embraces this idea of, like, just being weird. And how that's totally cool. Because I feel like one thing that, you know, a lot of movies try to do is, like, you know, that whole message of, like, be yourself. But I think in a lot of movies that's portrayed as, like, the main character learning that it's okay to be yourself, but also they kind of conform.
Yes,
like, absolutely. They become happier, and you see them, like, being happy and being themselves, but at the same time, they're not really doing anything that they wouldn't normally do.
Yes.
They kind of move on about their normal lives, but they're also happier because they're being themselves, like, quote-unquote, but it doesn't seem like their character has changed all that much. It's just trying to push a message without really making the character... have his own like quirks and things.
Yes.
And I feel absolutely. Like this movie was really good at portraying that idea of like, if you have those quirks or you have like weird things, it really embrace that. And I like that a lot. Because one of the big themes of the movie was like, this kid is having trouble, like harnessing his latent magical powers as like a up and coming wizard, a budding wizard.
Mm-hmm.
And, then at the end, his like, basically he saves the day using like this really like goofy out there magic. And, Jack Black and his female companion.
She was a mistress, I believe that.
Yeah. Like a friend of his, I mean, they lived together, but they kind of hated each other, but they were also best friends. It was like a weird dynamic. And they even touch on that in the movie.
Well, it's like us.
Yeah, more or less. But they're both standing there, like, shocked as he's doing this whole thing. And then they're like, you know, wow, that was amazing. That was, and, you know, they even say, I think they say, like, that was so weird and wonderful or something like that. But they kind of, they really, in this movie kind of really embraces that idea of it's cool if you've got those, like, weird quirks and, you know, you are, like, kind of unique and that's fine. More than a lot of movies that try to portray that message.
Absolutely.
I think it portrayed its message a little bit more effectively, more or less, is what I'm getting at.
It did. You know, it was definitely an above average movie for sure, and it was definitely something I was happy to see, even though I initially didn't have any interest in seeing it, even with Jack Black. But definitely worth seeing. It should still be out in theaters now, although in the next show we're going to talk about another Jack Black movie that I'm a little bit more excited for, personally. But definitely something we're seeing, you know, as soon as it comes out on Redbox, definitely worth it. Rental, stream, whatever. Yeah, I would probably give it a solid 7.5, maybe an 8 out of 10, honestly. Like, I really enjoyed it. I thought Jack Black was very good in his role, you know, and I thought he played it very well for the actor that he is.
I think, based on, like, I don't know. I think after watching it, I don't know how much I would really go back and revisit it. Mm-hmm. I think it was a quality film, and I think, you know, maybe even like when I have kids, I might go back and revisit it like with from a family perspective or something. But from like just a personal enjoyment, I think I'd probably give it like maybe a 6.5 or a 7.
Okay.
I think it's like just a little bit lower for me. Not because I didn't like it, but just because from like a just kind of a critical and like from a personal enjoyment and a rewatchability perspective.
I can agree with that. And I guess for me, you know, I like Jack Black quite a bit, so maybe I'm a little bit more, you know. Well, I think we kind of had that same discussion with me because we didn't talk about it on the show when we saw Rampage. We both obviously didn't like the movie, but I probably liked it a little more than you just because it had The Rock and, of course, my man crush and Jeffrey Dean Morgan in it. And I said outright that if those two were not in it or if one of the two weren't in it, then it would be probably a lot lower than it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, I you know, good movie overall. Not mad about that one. But I'm going to tell you what I am mad about because we have to transition so well. We saw another movie a couple days ago.
Goosebumps 2.
That's next week. And we're not going to be mad about that one. Well, you might. I'm not.
The reboot of Power Rangers.
That one was not bad. It was a little slow, but it was not bad. And that was also last year. And in March. In October.
Infinity War.
That was in May. And that was a really good movie.
I don't know which one you're talking about.
We saw... Well, it was the Marvel movie that we saw.
Captain Marvel.
Apparently we went ahead in time to February. No, we saw a movie called Venom.
We did. We also saw that one.
I'm
trying to put this one off. I'm really scared to get into this one because I know how this is going to go
Well, you see, here's the thing. We've said it many times. When we started the show, we've always talked about movies right after we saw it. So we say, you know what? Let's just film it, put it on the internet, and maybe make 2 people happy and 10 people hate us.
Yeah.
So far, so good. Although I gotta say, I really think since we started this back in May, every movie we've seen, we've pretty much agreed on.
We've had a couple that we've been off on.
But not as bad as I think this is going to be.
We'll see.
This is what you guys probably need to see. So, who wants to start this one? As we both look down while the camera's staring.
So, do you want to talk about the positives first or the negatives?
I will actually say let's talk about the positives because I thought there were some positives. I will say that. I'm not going to totally destroy this movie. Keyword totally. Tyler's bringing up his notes. All my notes are up here.
I will let you begin then.
Tom Hardy. Your turn.
I was going to say the same thing. I think Tom Hardy was a really solid choice.
You got like half a page there.
I do.
I had not seen these notes. This is going to be new to me, too.
I think Tom Hardy was a really solid choice,
yes.
And I think he did really well with what he was given. I mean, I'll be the first one to say the script was not as strong as it could have been, but...
Gee, I wonder why.
But I think... Why?
Because you have a Spider-Man villain. Who, I don't care if people say, I like Venom. You know, when you think Spider-Man, you probably think of the Green Goblin and the Hobgoblin and whatnot like that. But When I was growing up, and when Spider-Man the Animated Series was around, mm-hmm. the first villain I saw was the Green Goblin, and then Venom. So right. to me, Venom was always one of those higher-end Spider-Man villains. Mm-hmm. And taking out Spider-Man 3 from Sony, Venom, you know, could have definitely been something to go with a Spider-Man, maybe in the Marvel Universe. But as a standalone...
See, I don't know. You kind of went a different way than that with that than I was thinking. I was saying the script. I was saying the script could have been stronger, and I was thinking like you actually had a reason why the script itself was weak. I thought maybe you had an opinion about like the writers themselves or something like that.
I do. I can bust this up real quick. You see, a lot of people wanted to say this, and this is going to kind of be like a catch-22. The humor in the movie, I did find myself laughing at some points. Mm-hmm. I think this spoiler, although this was probably the funniest part to me. I think everybody in the theater laughed the most at this. This was near the beginning when he had his powers, and Venom told Eddie jump out the window.
Yeah, so he had climbed. Basically, they were trying to get into this building, and yes. security like kept telling him, "No, you can't get in the building. No, you can't get in the building." And security started like approaching him, Eddie Brock, and Eddie was like, "Don't come closer," because he's trying to like protect people. Yes. He's got this like symbiote inside of him.
Problem number one.
They didn't do it. They fixed that. They did not say it that way once in the whole movie. It was in the trailer. They did not do it in the movie. But that's beside the point. We'll get to that in a minute. So the security's approaching him, and he's like, "Stay away. I don't want to hurt you," and all this. And he goes running back out the building. And then he's like, "We got to get up there." And Venom's like, "Oh, why didn't you say so?" And he starts like running up the building, just up the side of the building, which is fine. That's mm-hmm. cool. They get to the top, and he needs to have a quick exit because they're coming out. They're coming after him, through the building. And so Venom says, "Jump out the window." And Eddie just like gives him a look. He's kind of like, "What?"
Yeah. And then, it cuts to them waiting at an elevator, and you just hear Venom say, "Pussy." I thought that was pretty cool. But going along with it, I do want to say this, and I think this was one of the bigger problems, especially before we knew that this was going to be rated PG-13. Everyone thought it was going to be an R-rated film. I thought the comedy was decent, and maybe even a little above average. I really did. But I feel as though that the comedy is not meant for Venom in this type of thing. Venom is not that type of character. Venom is not that... Yeah, you may see a quirk or two, but they were kind of like trying to take this character that bites people's heads off and then make him funny. And I'm like, it may be able to work, albeit a little bit tough, but I really think this movie would have been better if it was a rated R. And, maybe we'll even get on the DVD or Blu-ray when it comes out is like a rated R edition where maybe they did have some extra scenes and that they throw in there, take some other ones out, or just, what they say or did. But, the comedy I could definitely see was some parts were very good. But in terms of having that type of comedy with Venom, it wasn't there for me.
Okay, so I actually made a note about this.
Oh, boy.
This was one of my points.
Let's hear it.
We'll get back to Tom Hardy in a second. I'm not done talking about that yet. But while we're on the topic, I thought the exact opposite. I thought that like the humor and the way like Venom and Eddie like interacted with each other was really good. What I didn't like about it mm-hmm. was the way they approached it, like still like one of those like dark,
yes,
really intense movies. Because I think it kind of suffered from the same problem that I had like kind of with Justice League, where there is humor in it. But at the same time, you got this like, thumping orchestral soundtrack in the background, and they're in the middle of this fight, and it's like it almost, the music and the tone kind of like betray the humor a little bit, where a scene could be like really funny if yes. it was executed correctly.
Yes, absolutely.
In this specific scenario, the humor didn't punch like it should because the music was still like duh, 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 like behind these like big fight scenes while they're like quipping back and forth. And that bugged me more than anything, because I felt like there were moments that, like, I kind of giggled at them. I thought they were funny. But then I was like, this isn't as funny as it should be, because they're still trying to make the scene, like, intense and darker, yes. even, like, scary in some scenarios, rather than playing toward that humor that they're trying to put into the movie. And I feel like I said, I think DC has suffered from that for a long time. They had that problem with Justice League. They had that problem even a little bit in, like, Batman vs. Superman and stuff. And even Suicide Squad to an extent. Suicide Squad was better. And that's kind of the point that I was getting to. Because, like, Suicide Squad and Guardians and Deadpool, these movies mm-hmm. are really good about making, like, really good soundtracks. They take, like, a little bit of a lighter sound. Suicide Squad to a lesser extent. They went to great efforts to get that, like, eclectic soundtrack together because they thought that was, like, how to make a popular movie. Mm-hmm. They were riding off the success of movies like Guardians, and they were like, oh, if we take a bunch of, like, popular 80s songs and put them in a movie, people will automatically like it. Not really understanding the concept of Guardians. And so Suicide Squad, maybe to a lesser extent, but I feel like, especially like with Guardians and Deadpool, what makes them great is they take these soundtracks that really complement the humor. Mm-hmm. They skid right into the humor and they have fun with that. And I feel like that's kind of where Venom lost me a little bit, because they did, it felt like they wanted humor in there, but they didn't want to embrace that humor.
Yes.
They wanted it there as like, you know, we want people to laugh at this, but we also want to make sure that they still know that this scene is like intense and dark and it's a, like a big fight scene. And I'm like, I think if they had bent a little bit more in the way of like, let's have more like fun musical cues, or even, you know, see, and this is in my head. Mm-hmm. And I'm just another guy that likes to go see like nerdy movies. I'm not saying that I'm like a film critic or that I could do it better.
Yes, you are.
But that's totally what I'm saying.
Yes.
In my head, what I kept thinking would have been really fun is if Venom had like some sort of weird quirk where he liked like classic rock and roll or something like that.
That would have made the character a little more interesting.
That would have been a whole lot of fun, because he has these little moments where you see, you know, he's like, I like this, I like that. And you know, toward the end, he even talks about how I want to stay here. I like Earth. I want to do the whole Earth thing and, you know, help you out. And I feel like if he had like even more quirkiness and weird stuff, that would have made it even better. Because there's like at one point they're at like the top of a tower or something like that, mm-hmm. and he goes like, "I like it up here. It's peaceful," or something like that. And I feel like there are like these little moments of like humanity where you see the symbiote like kind of talking just about what he likes about Earth and stuff like that. And I feel like if he had some sort of weird quirk about liking, you know, like classic rock, or, you know, if he had like a thing for Aerosmith or something like that, mm-hmm. that could have, it not only would have been really good for like fight scenes and things, but it would have made the humor hit better if they had kind of, you know, made the music a little bit lighter or more fun. And I feel like they could have used that as like one of his powers.
Yeah,
because I feel
that.
Like another problem that this movie had was they quickly ran out of like cool things to do with like the shape-shifting symbiote thing. And I feel like they could have really utilized some sort of like, because their weakness is like sound waves, they could have had that be like some sort of downfall for like the bad Venom that ends up being the villain at the end. Or he could have like made a guitar out of like his shape-shifting abilities and then like hit like a powerful chord or something like that. You know, like they could have had more fun with the music if that had been like a quirk of that character. And I feel like in this movie, my biggest thing in this movie was that the music fell flat for me. The music, I felt like, was not only just not a great composition, it was not a great soundtrack for the movie, but it also hurt the movie's humor, and it hurt the movie's like pacing and atmosphere.
It really, I'm surprised that was one of the things that you guys, I didn't really pay attention a lot to the music, I guess, because maybe it was forgettable for me. Mm-hmm. But I really think for me, you know, you kind of touched on it a little bit. One of the things, or two of the things that really got me, and it's like, which I think is a major plot point, and I could very well have missed something, but when he's on top of the building, on top of the skyscraper, wherever he was at.
Oh, is this what you were hinting at?
This is one of the two problems.
Okay.
Yeah.
There were two things. We got out of the theater, and he was like, well, I need to talk about this. And I was like, we have to wait. We can't talk about it till the podcast. And then he was like, so there was this thing that happened, and it bugged me, but he was trying not to give spoilers. So I'm interested to see what you've got, because I was having trouble latching on to what you were.
So these are the two things. These are the two things that I had the biggest problems with of the movie.
Okay.
That happened that just weren't really explained, at least in my eyes. So the first one is when he was on top of the skyscraper. it was kind of a throwaway line, but he did say, you know what, it does kind of look peaceful here. Your world is kind of beautiful.
Yeah.
And then later on in the movie, he's just like, yeah, I want to stay here. I don't want to destroy your Earth anymore. I don't want to eat everybody.
There was not enough of a character arc there.
No, it was just like, okay, so you saw the city lit up at night, you know, in San Francisco, where it is.
Yeah.
That alone made you change your mind and want to help and stay. That really wasn't explained.
Yeah.
The other part that wasn't explained was in the climactic final battle. It was stated that Venom had two major weaknesses. It's the sound waves and it's fire.
Mm-hmm. Which, those are both canon.
Yes.
Those both do work as far as the character themselves.
Yes. So the big thing is Venom versus Super Venom. The plot of the story, which is, again, spoilers, was that this Super Venom character wanted to get into a spaceship to go to his planet to get all the other Venoms, I guess you could say, to come back to Earth, wipe it out.
Yeah.
The main Venom that's attached, they could be attracted, I don't know, that is attached to Eddie Brock says, no, we gotta stop him.
Yeah.
So the Super Venom gets in the spaceship and is taking off, where the main Venom destroys it, explosion. He even says, see you later, Eddie. Supposedly kills the main Venom because the rocket explodes, so the main character, the main villain, is dead along with the main Venom.
Yeah.
The flames just kind of blast right on down to our Venom, sending him into the water, and then it cuts to a few months later, I can't remember exactly which one it said.
I think it was a few weeks.
It might have been just a few weeks.
There was... Maybe it was my imagination. I know a lot of movies fall into this trap, but it felt like there was a little bit of an overusage of the kind of like, now it's 6 months later.
Yes.
Now it's 3 weeks later. That happens like three or four times during this movie. There's just like a black screen and it says like 6 months later.
Yes.
Or something like that. And it's like, okay, we get it.
Yeah.
That could be something. Jumping. That could be something. And I mean, even like in the Marvel movies, they use that. But I feel like they use that time more effectively. It's not a black screen. It's like, yes, you see it, you see the letters, but it's like while the action is going on. They don't like waste time by giving you a black screen explicitly stating, okay, time has passed.
And you know, and the big thing with this is you're at the end scene. Excuse me, you're at the end scene. And then all of a sudden, you know, the main character's talking to his ex-fiance, and then Venom starts talking just out of nowhere. And it's never explained or shown or how that Venom survived after getting blasted by fire that's supposed to kill him. And you would assume that maybe he used as much of his power as he could to defend Eddie because, you know, he kind of fell from a rocket into water. Mm-hmm. So maybe that Venom used up everything. But it's never stated how Venom actually survived that blast.
See, that's interesting because that never bothered me.
It does. It really does.
See, whenever I saw them both falling and then it said like a 3 weeks later or whatever it was, I kind of already assumed. I had kind of already figured that was going to happen. I didn't think it... See, at first, whenever it said a few weeks later, I was thinking there was going to be like a realization by Eddie. I thought maybe like he was going to find like, you know, like the symbiote was going to show back up at his door, or he was going to like find it out on the dock somewhere or something like that. It was going to be like kind of a reunion, or maybe it would start talking to him and he was shocked and he was like, you know, holy crap, how are you still here? You know, or something like that.
Anything.
I kind of assumed there would be some sort of reveal like that, but the way they did it, I didn't have a problem with. I didn't think that would be one of like your big gripes.
It was, because it's like if he like found him like on the dock or something, or you know, slowly kind of healed him, that would have made more sense. But it the movie did say several times, like, you know, the fire and the electrical waves are what will kill it.
I kind of just assumed, so like, you know, there are a few times in this movie where they use the sound waves. And you can see that, you know, it's like tearing symbiote off of Eddie and stuff like that. But he still survives.
Yes.
And once the sound waves are gone, you know, it just attaches itself again and they move on. And I kind of just assumed it was one of those. I kind of figured being the Super Venom or whatever was in the ship when it exploded, mm-hmm. it got the full blast.
Yeah, he got the full blast.
Being Venom being Venom and Eddie were outside and they're both just like falling back toward the water. It hurt Venom, but there was still enough of him that survived that he was able to reattach himself. I kind of took it for granted. I didn't see anything wrong with the way they did it.
Well, at the end of the day, we all knew that Venom was going to survive somehow, way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. I just would have liked to see maybe a little explanation of, you know, like, oh, well, you know, I used a lot of my power to essentially, and I'm going to kind of compare, I don't know a whole lot about Venom, you know, but did you watch Dragon Ball Z? I think we talked about this mm-hmm. a couple times. Do you remember Cell?
Yeah.
Cell in Dragon Ball Z states clearly, as long as the nucleus in his head stays intact, he can keep reviving himself over and over and over again. No matter how many times he gets destroyed, no matter what he does, he can self-destruct, he can do whatever. As long as the nucleus in his head stays intact, he can keep bringing himself back. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's something like Venom. As long as a nucleus in him, even just one little part, is still there, he can reform himself, and yeah. you know, and the only, and like with Super Venom that got destroyed, well, if that much fire explosion around him rather than just blasting Eddie and Venom down into the water, mm-hmm. maybe that's how they survive. But I personally would have just liked a little something, like a nod, a throwaway line, anything,
yeah,
just to kind of wrap that up for me.
Okay,
so
that's interesting. I had no problems with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a gripe. It may not be minor. It may not be huge, but it's one of the gripes. And I will say this, too. You know, they did get it right, obviously. Everyone's like, well, where's Spider-Man? Spider-Man's obviously in New York City. This one took place in San Francisco. And there was a line stating, you know, that Eddie did move out to San Francisco to be with his fiance at the time. Mm-hmm. So that's why he was not in New York City. And that's why everyone thought, like, oh my goodness, I just forgot the actor's name. Actor plays Spider-Man. I'm literally on
the tip. Tom Holland?
Tom Holland. It was Tom something. They always say, oh, he filmed the scene. Maybe it'll be in the extras. But that's essentially why that he's not in this movie. And, you know, maybe Eddie and Venom are going to start Avengers West. You never know. But I don't know. I mean, it's... I know you still want to talk about something.
I still have a lot of things to say.
All right. Well, go ahead and start talking about your things, because I'm getting close to that. I want to make sure I talk to you.
So we covered, like, the big thing for me was the music, and we covered that.
Yes.
The I'm not going to sugarcoat it. The shifts in tone are a little bit jarring, and I'm not going to go in depth about that. Everybody has talked about that. Every review I read, everybody on Rotten Tomatoes, no matter what you read, everybody's going to say it is a little bit weird the way it tries to be kind of like almost like a quasi-horror film, but also like just kind of a dark anti-hero film, but also kind of a comedy. Like, it doesn't quite mesh ever. And, you know, I'm not going to try to deep dive into that or anything. Yes. That's how it is. I didn't like, especially at the beginning, kind of once it gets about halfway or so, this is another thing that kind of fixed itself for me. But for the first half, I feel like it doesn't really respect the audience very much. Mm. They give you a whole lot of exposition. There's like, you see a lot of information on screen, and you hear a lot of people talking, and they explain like word for word kind of what's going on and what the symbiote is and who Eddie Brock is. And they try to make it really obvious through like the interactions and things and the way Eddie is that like he's a journalist, but he's also an underground journalist, but he's also a really good journalist, you know. And they hold your hand a little bit too much, I feel like. They don't respect the audience's ability to kind of grasp these things through like actions or through the things that happen in the movie. They want to really explicitly tell you about like Eddie's abilities and the symbiote and things like that before they kind of like get into the movie, I guess.
Yes.
And I feel like,
which is why you really don't see much of Venom until almost halfway through the freaking thing.
So. Yeah. Well, and I feel like too, there was kind of this weird moment where toward the beginning, they just have him holding a notepad for everything. Mm-hmm. Whether he's interviewing people or not, that's like kind of their indication. They're like, he's a good journalist because he's got this notepad that he carries around everywhere. And that, like, it was just kind of weird to me at the very beginning, just how much they, like, if you've ever played a video game where they give you, like, these, like, super long tutorials and they cakewalk you through, like, the first five levels trying to, like, ease you in, mm-hmm. it's basically like that.
Not lying. You know, and that was the thing, too, that I didn't mention. It's like, you really don't see a lot of... You see Venom coming to Earth, and then maybe about a quarter of the way through, you see him, like, get to Eddie, And then really it was halfway through on, you get to see them do more interaction together, learning about the powers, which honestly, and I will have to give credit again to Tom Hardy, you know, he played the part very well.
He was really good.
I really enjoyed his part. So there was something I did like about this movie.
Yeah.
You know, no, I'm not going to totally rip it apart.
Tom Hardy was really, like I said, he was really good with what they gave him.
Yes, absolutely he was.
I had no problems with that. I thought he was great.
Yes.
I did talk a little bit about the humor. I made two separate notes, one about the music and just how I was surprised that it was as funny as it was. It was a little bit more comedic than I expected it to be, and I really liked that, because I didn't feel like it needed to be darker.
Yes.
I know I'm playing devil's advocate a little bit here, but there was another one of those kind of like fanboy mobs whenever they found out this was going to be PG-13, and they were like, it has to be R. This is Venom. It has to be an R-rated movie. And I was kind of like, I don't think so. If it's a well-made movie, who cares if it's PG-13 or if it's R? And I think at the end of the day, I didn't mind the humor. I didn't mind that they lightened it up a little bit. I had no problems with the way they executed it. I just, you know, my gripes were more with like the script and the way they presented the movie itself and the music.
I think going along with that, you know, like R versus PG-13, I think the way it kind of felt to me, especially with the comedy that they put in there, which again was still very good. You know, mm-hmm. I did enjoy some of it.
I think mine was, my favorite part was Venom basically just keeps calling Eddie a loser. It's like, that's kind of like the running gag is that, he's like, I know all about you. I'm inside you. You're kind of a loser. And then the turnaround is that later on, he's like, on my world, I'm actually kind of a loser too. And I thought that was like the funniest thing ever.
It was interesting. It was. But I think the thing with me is that when they first started production on this movie, the way it felt or the way they wanted it to do was they were doing it to be a rated R movie. And then maybe halfway through, they're like, you know what, let's do PG-13. Let's try to do something here to get more families to see it. I don't know. It is Marvel. They didn't want to run into another Deadpool type of thing where parents and whatnot did take their kids to see Deadpool and then bitched about it later, even though it was rated R. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I really think that they were trying to do it as rated R when they first said, hey, let's do this. And then they changed it to PG-13, which is why I think there might have been a confliction. Kind of like with Justice League when what's the director's name from the, not Russo.
Zack Snyder?
No, when Zack Snyder left, I forget the director's name. He directed Age of Ultron for Marvel.
Oh, okay. So I always get these mixed up. I always want to say J.J. Abrams, and then I'm like, no, that's not right. He's the one that's doing all the cool stuff now.
Yes.
It's Joss Whedon, who's also doing all the cool stuff right now.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, with Justice League, you know, when Whedon came in near the end, you kind of saw a lot of elements from his side of thing for Justice League. And I really feel it was the same for Venom. Like, you saw the makings or the groundwork of a rated R movie, and then you saw the changes to PG-13 mm-hmm. as well, which is why I didn't really mesh. So, personally, I think if they stuck with either rated R when they started it, or if they said, no, this will be PG-13 right out the gate, then it would have been a much more enjoyable movie overall.
Right.
For a villain-only movie that I guess is now a good guy, I mean, does Venom ever really become that much of a good guy?
They were setting him up as kind of like a anti-hero, kind of like Deadpool.
I mean, they could do something, and you know,
because they've got it kind of set up now, and they've set themselves up for a sequel really well.
They did.
But they've kind of set themselves up now as kind of like two halves of a whole, which, I mean, is literally what they are now.
Yes.
But they've kind of set Eddie up as like the good guy, and Venom is like the bad guy, and they kind of balance each other out, where Venom's like, can I eat that guy? And Eddie's like, no, no, he's good, he's fine, we only eat really bad people, you know, stuff like that. And they kind of play like judge, jury, and executioner, and they kind of take that like vigilante justice thing, but yes, they're kind of like playing both sides of the field here. Like good cop, bad cop, almost.
Yeah, and you know, something else that could very well work, that if Venom could be more of the anti-hero going forward, like maybe he'll do something for Avengers West, or maybe they do work with Disney and they can kind of get him into a Spider-Man movie like the one after Far From Home or something. I don't know. Maybe they could very well do something like that, but it all depends on the sequel that we're going to talk about in a minute, because I know, Ty, you still got some more things you might want to chat about.
Yeah. I mentioned I really like Tom Hardy.
I think everybody does.
I made a little note saying, like, he always impresses me. He just always does the best with what he's given. I've never... He does movies that aren't great. I've seen some really good movies with him, and I've seen some not so great movies with him.
Yes.
But I've never had a moment where I'm disappointed in his performance.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I liked him a lot. So I guess the next thing I wanted to touch on was this: the whenever it's attached to him, I didn't have as many problems. Whenever it's like actually like symbiote running around, and even like the full symbiote costume, I thought was fine. There are moments where he's just like the blob, like in like a lab or a tube or something like that, mm-hmm. before he's attached to anything, and it just looked bad.
Yeah, the animation
was like 90s CGI. Like, I'm talking like the original Power Rangers TV show had stuff that looks like this. That's an exaggeration. It wasn't that bad. that was a really bad analogy there, but it looked rough.
I'll throw you guys for a loop on this, and if you can remember this, it looked like the Secret World of Alex Mack when she would kind of go down into her puddle, except the puddle would have been black for Venom and not like that silver color.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even think you know what I'm talking about on that one, do you?
No.
Okay, well, don't worry, because maybe one person out there will.
But
shout out to Secret World of Alex Mack. Great show.
It did not look good. I had no problems with the suit itself, or even like the stuff where it comes out of him and is like talking to him and stuff. But when it was just the alien symbiote, it looked bad.
It really did. Really, really did.
I'm not gonna, you know, that's, you get that. I'm not gonna waste more time talking about it.
Yeah.
I legitimately made a note saying they fixed the way they say symbiote.
They did.
I liked that a lot. It was in the trailer. Everybody laughed about it. Everybody moaned about it. You know, it was a big deal in the trailers and leading up to the movie. And they totally changed it. They never say it symbiote in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm kind of relieved about and a little bit disappointed, because I was all over that. I was having so much fun saying it symbiote.
Extra syllables. I don't want to get into that one. What else we got?
So, again, I'm going to kind of play devil's advocate a little bit. I know you were saying that it bugged you that they spent so long getting to Venom, and that, you know, they didn't really show Venom till like halfway through the movie. I think they revealed him too soon.
Well, they revealed him coming down to the Earth, or what was going on.
Yeah, well, no. Not that. I don't mind that. They had like the opening scene where they show like the crashing into Earth and how he got to Earth and stuff like that. That's fine. What I'm saying is, whenever it inhabits Eddie, it gets to him and you see him like running around, and then there's that first fight, mm-hmm. with like the army people and the tear gas and all that.
Yes.
And like, just even a little bit through that fight, he's already like fully revealed himself. Like, it becomes like the full symbiote, like, yes, running around, absolutely, fighting things, blowing stuff up, things like that. I think that that was too much of a anticlimactic reveal. I think that that should have been like almost that very first fight in his apartment,
mm-hmm.
where he like punches a few of them and he's like, you know, wow, that's weird. What was that? I think there should have been a little bit more of that. I think they should have played with it more, because you see full Venom just like in the midst of this big fight, and there's no like actual like reveal to make it significant. I think they should have waited through that fight and then had Venom kind of like really reveal himself a little bit later on, like to Eddie, or in, even if it was just a more significant manner in this fight. I think that it felt a little bit anticlimactic to me, and it felt a little bit rushed.
I will say this about the movie. They were setting it up decently when they first met. And when Venom first came down to Earth, you know, they did say one of them did, they couldn't find it, escape, whatever. And then it kind of made its way through the city to get to where Eddie was. And from there, you know, I thought it really took off, because they had to set up this thing getting down to Earth, getting to Eddie learning how to use his powers,
mm-hmm.
using the powers, final battle.
Yeah.
So I think they could have shortened up some things a little bit more, like maybe even if Eddie was out at the crash site being the journalist, like talking about what happened, what was this, and then getting the powers from there, they could have shortened it and then used it more towards another thing or two later on.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe teased a little something more, which we'll talk about the ending credit scene in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just me.
Okay, I'm working it down. I've only got just a couple more.
All right, so we still have a lot more topics to go.
And this is a shout out to, I think his name was Mitchell. We talked to a guy after our viewing that was coming in for his viewing.
Yes.
And if I'm not mistaken, he added us. So if you're watching, thank you for adding us. Thank you for watching. You're amazing.
You have our business cards.
But one thing that he told us going in was, as long as the action scenes are good, that's all I'm asking for.
Mm-hmm.
He had set his bar low, and all he wanted was like really good action scenes. What I think, the action scenes were really uneven. There were some of them, like the one in the apartment, the first one where it's just like blowing stuff out of him and he's like, what is going on?
Mm-hmm.
That was fine. That was really good. Once you get into the big battles, like that one I was telling you about with like the tear gas and all that, where he's like running around in the fog, it got too chaotic and too fast. The shaky cam was ridiculous. It almost, if you've seen like the Bourne movies, like the Bourne Identity, the mm-hmm. Bourne Supremacy movies like that, it felt like that. It felt a little bit too shaky and chaotic and not stylized enough for a comic book movie. And I know that some, like even some of the Marvel movies are prone to do that. The Russo brothers are really prone to using like that shaky cam action kind of style for like the Captain America movies and things. But I felt like this movie moved a little bit too fast sometimes, to where I had trouble even telling what was going on the screen.
Yes.
In the midst of some of these battles.
Yes, absolutely.
And that should never happen in a superhero movie.
Not at all. Not at all. It was, you know, it was. There were some things that were good, and then there were some things that were just like, okay, it's enough now.
Yeah. So, as much as I like Tom Hardy, he's the only one that I really, really liked. Mm-hmm. I felt, Michelle Williams is a really talented actress, and she was completely wasted as, like, his on-again, off-again girlfriend. The ex-girlfriend role was just not good.
Yeah.
And that was just wasted on her. They could have used any interchangeable actress. They could have used an unknown if they had wanted for the amount of character development she gets. That was just a bad role, and it was not good for her. Jenny Slate, as like a lab assistant, she's like a well-known comedian. She got her start on SNL, and she does like indie comedies now. I don't know why they cast her as the lab assistant, unless originally maybe they were pushing more for the humor and then gave up on it or something. But that was just weird, and I didn't like that at all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the main antagonist from anything. I don't know like who he is, or if he's, I don't know if he's an unknown or if he's just done stuff that I haven't watched.
Yes.
But I did not like him at all. He felt like super lame, and he was not a dynamic actor. I feel like they could have cast someone way better as the bad guy. The casting was just weird to me. I feel like Tom Hardy was the only really solid choice in the movie.
That's true. You know, I mean, the main antagonist was kind of, and the on-again, off-again girlfriend was just kind of there. And then the doctor was kind of like, hey, this is, you know, the girlfriend, you know, found someone later after she left Eddie Brock, you know, Tom Hardy. And it's just kind of like, wow, you just happen to be a doctor that can kind of help with this. Thank mm-hmm. you for, you know, plot convenience.
Yeah.
So.
And again, I feel like, so I kind of touched on everybody. I want to focus in a little bit tighter on like the ex-girlfriend
mm-hmm.
because that was just in a movie where I feel like some of the script could have been improved for like Venom and Eddie Brock. I feel like especially that ex-girlfriend role was just bad.
Absolutely.
It was like, because it was super cool at the beginning. It was like super fun and super flirty. It actually reminded me of like Deadpool and his girlfriend from the Deadpool movies. And I'm like, that's great. I loved what they did with the girlfriend at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Then whenever things fell apart for them and they broke up, she was the biggest jerk face I have like ever seen. Like in any, like I mean, she's like super villain bad.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
She just treats him like dirt. And, you know, it's been years, and he's just coming back and apologizing and trying to reconcile their relationship and stuff, and she's like, no, you're the worst. Get out of my life. And she wants nothing to do with him. She doesn't want to talk to him. She treats him really badly. But then, all of a sudden, whenever he gets infected with a parasite, she randomly cares again. Like, as soon as she finds out that he's got an alien symbiote in him, she's like, you know, oh, we need to help you. My boyfriend's a doctor. Come over here. You know, we need to take care of you. And it was like, but why now? After all this time of like you treating him so badly and saying you don't want anything to do with him, there's no reconciliation there. There's no like apology or anything like that. It's just like, as soon as she finds out that he's got an alien in him, she's like, "Oh, I care about you now. Mm-hmm. You need to come be with me." And that was so weird to me. It felt like that character flipped back and forth so much, and it was just it was bad.
It was. It was just character development. But hey, what are you gonna do? Yeah.
And okay, we're down to my last thing finally, which I'd mentioned to you, and I highly doubt that you followed through on it. But
oh, the movie I didn't get chance.
I asked Mike before we did this this episode to watch Upgrade, because if you've seen Upgrade, this is more or less the exact same idea, except it's not an alien. He gets implanted with a chip. He gets paralyzed. Mm-hmm. And this like super sketchy underground mad scientist. I mean, he's brilliant. You know, he's famous for like his work and stuff, but he's working on this new technology that's supposed to like interact with like your neural network and stuff, but he hasn't revealed it to the public. So the main character becomes like a guinea pig for him. So he implants this chip in him that basically makes him like supercomputer amazing. You know, all of a sudden he's got like all these abilities in him, but he's also got like amazing reflexes and he's stronger than before and all this stuff. And because he's upgraded, that's, you know, where the movie got its name. And that's more or less how I felt about this movie, because there's this like transitional period where Eddie and Venom are learning to work together and learning like what their new abilities are and what they can do for each other and stuff like that. And that's more or less what Upgrade was. It's like this guy that was just super down and out, had nothing going for him. You know, his girl was gone, he was paralyzed, all this. And then he gets this chip put inside him and it starts talking to him because it's connected to his brain. It's talking through like his sound waves to him inside his head. And it starts talking to him about like all the cool things he can do and all the new abilities he has and all this stuff. And it turns into like a revenge tale where he's basically going and taking out the people that killed his wife and paralyzed him.
Yes.
I got that vibe. If you like Upgrade, the core concept is more or less the same for Venom. It's that idea. He has this... I mean, in here, obviously, it's the symbiote, and it comes out of him, too. Mm-hmm. But the core concept of, like, it's this voice in his head, and it's telling him, you're better now, and you can do all these cool things. It reminded... There was a really strong Upgrade vibe. Yes. So if you've seen that, that was one of the strongest comparisons that I drew while I was watching it.
And just really to wrap it up for me is the end credits scene. Spoiler again.
Really strong spoiler.
Woody Harrelson is Carnage. Okay, yeah. I can see that. That makes me a little more interested in the sequel.
And that was a lot of fun. That was a good scene. Yes. I like that. They revealed Woody Harrelson as Carnage in like maximum security. And you know that he's going to get out and terrorize the city. And Venom and Eddie will have to stop him. And then the second credit scene, the real after credits scene, was just an extended look at Spider-Man
into the Spider-Verse.
Yes. And that just keeps looking better and better. So I don't want to get like super in depth about the Spider-Verse trailer. The extended clip just has me more and more sure that it's going to be great.
So hey, as of right now, Sony with this deal with Disney, 2 for 3, I would say, or at least one for two.
I would go as far as saying 3 for 3. I think I enjoyed this enough on a personal level that I would be happy watching it again.
Well, I'm going to stick with 1 for 2, possible 2 for 3. 1 for 2 being, obviously, Spider-Man for the PS4 is fantastic.
Yes!
0 for 1 with Venom, and then Into the Spider-Verse so far is looking like a win, so 2 for 3 isn't bad, but we'll see.
So, any more points?
No, we got to move on.
Okay, number score. What you got?
4.
4? I was going to give it another, probably like 6.5 or 7.
I just gave it a 4 because I like Tom Hardy.
I was going to give it about the same as House of the Clock and its Walls.
Okay. Well, that's enough about Venom. We got a few more topics to go.
Okay.
So, this was just announced this past week or so. Toys R Us. Do you remember Toys R Us, Tyler?
No.
Okay, neither do I.
Oh, real quick. Okay, two seconds. We'll move quick, I promise.
Professionalism.
I'm not going to waste it. It's just a good segue because we were talking about like the comparisons with Venom. Deadpool 2 is getting a new release with new footage as like a PG-13 Christmas film, and it looks amazing. They're taking Ben Savage from The Princess Bride and putting him back in his little like childhood bed. Like, he's like 40 years old now, but they're still making him like the kid from The Princess Bride, and it's going to be Deadpool 2 telling him like the Christmas story of Deadpool. And it's going to be like a recut of Deadpool 2, so it's going to be PG-13 and a little bit more family-friendly, if you can call Deadpool 2 family-friendly. But
More money for Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, they're cutting out the R-rated stuff and making it a PG-13 cut, but they're bookending this movie with a Princess Bride overlay, and that's just hilarious to me, and I'm super excited. Okay, moving forward again, sorry.
So anyway, Toys R Us. Anyway, as I was saying, Toys R Us. Neither one of us have obviously heard of them. They did something interesting this week, Tyler. Would you like to know what they did this week?
They said that they were not closing?
No, they're still closed.
They're still closed, but they said that they were going to be returning. It was almost like an ominous supervillain message saying that they weren't done yet or something.
Well, when they shut down, they had the hashtag TRU to be continued.
Mm-hmm.
So this week, or this past week, I should say, because it's Sunday, they announced that the bankruptcy auction is canceled. I'm a business major, so I know what this means. Tyler's a teacher. So pretty much what that means is...
But ironically, you're the one teaching me.
I know. This is a change of pace. What, long story short, what this means is that Toys R Us potentially, when they shut down their stores, sold off their assets, could have made back enough money to pay off their debts. And they don't need to do a bankruptcy auction for the name or the assets they have left or anything like that. So they could be returning.
They could be like rebranding themselves as a new kind of shop or as an online retailer or something.
So this is what people have kind of dug out so far, and all this needs to be taken with a grain of salt. Toys R Us is shut down as of right now. However, they are rebranding themselves, maybe not using as big a space as they had.
Mm-hmm.
And they could also start up as a pop-up shop, kind of like how Spirit Halloween is and whatnot, especially around the holidays, using the Toys R Us name. This, to me, is interesting because when Toys R Us first closed, you know, the toy industry as a whole, Mattel, Hasbro, Bandai, all of them, all took a hit. And, you know, you had Walmart and Target, and they're like, yeah, we're going to expand our toy sections, blah, 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 blah. Here's the thing that people don't always understand. Yes, more people shopped on Amazon, bought a toy cheaply at Walmart when they were there shopping for everything else to show up their kids. That did hinder Toys R Us. That is not the main reason why it closed. It closed because back in the early 2000s, Mitt Romney and a couple other guys bought Toys R Us.
Mm-hmm.
Or their firm bought like the assets, or they bought enough stock, and they took it private, and they loaded up with $5 billion in debt that they could not get out of. That was the main reason. Of course, you know, online shopping did hurt them. I'm not going to say that it didn't. But that was one of their main things. A lot of people said, oh, the prices are higher. Yeah. Some prices were a little bit higher, but they also offered a lot more sales on them. I mean, I can't tell you the last time outside of closer to now, the holidays, I would go to like a Walmart or a Target or something and see a sale, a true blue sale on a few toys anywhere. Whereas Toys R Us did it all the time. I remember I would always stock up on Power Ranger toys. They would be like, buy one, get one half off. Stuff like that. So with Toys R Us potentially coming back as a pop-up shop, that kind of goes with what was announced right as Toys R Us is closing. That's KB Toys, my personal favorite, is also planning on coming back as a pop-up shop. But they were supposed to also potentially be around now for the holidays. Obviously, that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Obviously, this is still very new. Everything can be taken with a grain of salt. The only thing that is confirmed that we know is the bankruptcy auction was canceled.
Okay.
So that was a good laugh if you heard that one.
You know what else was canceled?
What else was canceled?
The ending of the Walking Dead Telltale series.
That was, yeah, we didn't even add that to the list.
We didn't have that on the list, but just real quick, if you were bummed out that Telltale was closing, they did, I guess, sell the final Walking Dead series.
Yes.
It did get picked up by someone else, and they are going to be finishing it. So if you were bummed out about that, we will be getting the final season of the Walking Dead episodic adventures.
And I believe Ubisoft actually came out and was reaching out to former Telltale employees and like, hey, if you need a job, come apply. Mm-hmm. You know, because they are very talented people. And that one, that just real quick, kind of shut down because of bad business decisions. You know, they were taking on more projects than they could handle. They were trying to do Walking Dead. They did Marvel Guardians of the Galaxy. They did a Game of Thrones. Wolf Among Us.
Yeah, Wolf Among Us was great. That's probably still one of my favorite that Telltale did.
So
they did Batman ones. They had two or three seasons of Batman. They had Minecraft.
They were going to do
Borderlands.
They were going to do Stranger Things. They were in production with that. So lots of things closing down. Lots of things being canceled. You know, still good people in the world trying to offer jobs. So hearts out to all the Telltale guys. It's kind of an older thing, so I don't want to get into that one too much.
Yeah.
Moving on. This is again just a rumor. I'm only talking about this for a minute, as big a fan as I am. Supposedly next year, Nintendo, not content with making more money than anybody in the world, is going to go ahead, which we all probably saw this coming, and make a new Switch. Mm-hmm. Not a Switch 2 or 2.0.
Just a revision.
A revision. I personally, I don't know what they could do, honestly. You know,
I've got all sorts of things. I know exactly what they could do.
I mean, they could do longer battery life for, like, the pad, if possible. But I only play mine on the TV. I don't really play it in gamepad.
I think, so that's the big thing. I think they could make, because we're kind of opposite in that way. Mike plays a lot in TV mode. He plays it docked. I take mine with me everywhere.
I'm a
big portable gamer. Before this, and I mean, that's always how it's been. Before the Switch was out, I always had my DS with me. I always had a Vita with me. I had a PSP. You know, it was always something. I had my Game Boys, dating all the way back to like the original Game Boy. I always had something with me.
Absolutely.
I like playing on the go, and that's because I tend to be, even if I'm not like busy, I tend to have things that I do. I don't like being tied to my TV, and because I'm over at my family's house, or I'm with friends, or I'm out at the movies, or whatever the case may be. And so I like having that experience with me on the go, and I feel like this was a really good opportunity to do that.
Yes,
the Switch was like a dream console for me. So I play it a lot in portable mode.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say the biggest things would be better battery life, like you said.
Yes.
I would also say make like a pro model that has an actual nice screen. I get why they did it. It's a plastic screen. And they use like a regular LED or LCD screen. So the colors are a little bit washed out. The contrast is not very good, and I know they did it because it's a portable games console. It's for kids.
Yes.
And it's optimal for kids. Absolutely. And I get that. But what I think would be really cool is if they could optimize, if they had like I said, maybe do like a pro model or something like that. Mm-hmm. So that if you wanted something with like an IPS panel and a glass screen, something that really improved the look of the screen, you could make that happen.
Right.
I think, and you know, or even just make that your base model. I wouldn't even care if you did that. Like I said, I get why they do it, because it's going to be used by a lot of kids, and that way it doesn't break as easily. But I think it would be really cool if they used a glass IPS panel. I think that would be so nice.
That would make it look better, and especially for you, since you do take it everywhere with you. Mm-hmm. I mean, I see you bust it out. We were waiting for a movie, and I saw you bust it out a few times.
Yeah. Or I would venture as far as saying it would be cool if you gave us a couple different sizes.
That would be different.
You wouldn't be able to change the form factor, because the Joy-Cons, you don't want to change the Joy-Cons.
Yeah.
You want Joy-Cons to be compatible across the spectrum. You want it to be compatible with the original, with the revision, with any future ones. You want the Joy-Cons to be a universal thing.
Yeah.
But I would say if you could make one that was somehow adaptable. Something with a bigger screen, but you could still slot your regular Joy-Cons into. Or something with a smaller screen for people that want it to be more portable. Something that's easier to toss into their pocket instead of having to have in a pouch or something. Something like that that was still compatible with the regular Joy-Cons, I think that would go over really well too.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, I think the way Nintendo would plan this is if it was something more for the handheld guys. Like, you know, there was rumors of them releasing it without a dock and just having it mm-hmm. be that, and, you know, of course, with the price reduction in it.
Yeah, which they did over in Japan.
Yeah, so that could be something, but you never know. I guess we got to wait, probably. I would say probably have to wait till early next year, if not E3, before we find out a little more about that one.
Yeah.
So with the Switch, actually, I'm only going to talk about this for a minute because I, you know, they both came out this week, so I only had very limited time with them.
Yeah, we got a few games to discuss. We're going to go over them all pretty quickly. Yeah. We're not going to spend a lot of time on games this week because it's not even like full on reviews or things that we've been doing together. It's just we've both been playing games and we want to say that they're cool.
So this past Tuesday, Mega Man 11 came out for the mm-hmm. Switch, PS4, and Xbox One, I think. Yeah, it came out on all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know why I lost track there. For the debacle that Mighty No. 9 was, and I know Mighty No. 9 is not made by Capcom. Capcom got it right. So Mega Man 11 is actually very hard. I've only played a little bit of it so far. You know, I've had a very busy week this week. A lot of things going on. It was hard, but it was fun. I look more to delving more into it. And then on Friday, I got hit with Super Mario Party. And I actually, the only reason why I picked this one up so soon, I was going to wait, was that everyone's favorite Game Grumps was posting Mario Party 5, I want to say, a playthrough of it, and I just had an itch to play it, and I was like, screw it, let me go ahead and use it, and I picked that up. I only played, I think it was like maybe two or three games, you know, against the computer, and the one gripe so far that I don't like about it is, obviously I'm playing by myself with three other computer players, is you can't, at least right now, I haven't delved a lot into the settings of it, you can't set the different computers to different difficulty. You can either be normal, hard, or very hard. So you can't have like one easy, one normal, one hard.
Right.
You know, it's all normal, all hard, all very hard, and then you.
Yeah.
Which I'm kind of like, you know, give me a little bit of a challenge, but not so much where I'm like throwing my Joy-Con. And, yeah. that was one of the other things too. Like, you have to use your Joy-Con for this. You can't use the Pro Controller and you can't use the Joy-Con in the dock. You have mm-hmm. to, you know, because all the games, even if they don't use motion control, you know, you just hold it on the side and then, you know, you hit a couple buttons. Yeah. But there are some where you do have to use, I think it's like one of the games is to climb up a pole where you hold down the trigger button and then go like this and let it go, and that's how you climb.
Yeah.
So, and then they also, because Nintendo always trying to be family friendly, if you're doing a team battle or a 2-on-2 or a 3-on-1 and you win, you can time out a high five with the other two characters, and then if you guys do it perfectly, everybody gets an extra 2 coins.
Mm-hmm.
So, honestly, I thought it was fun, you know, definitely playing a little more of it. It's Mario Party. If you like Mario Party, you're going to like this one.
Easy enough.
So, Tyler's going to get for the Xbox One that I keep forgetting that you're into the 7 games. Forza 4.
Forza Horizon 4.
Yes.
I had been playing, not even because I'm super into racing games. I'm actually, I haven't played a racing game since probably like the PS2. But I got into this, a buddy of mine, Jeremy. You've met Jeremy a couple of
times.
Love
Jeremy. He's a great guy.
Jeremy is
cooler than I am.
It's like he's cooler than both of us.
He really is.
But he's super into cars and he's super into the Xbox. He's an Xbox loyalist and he is a Forza loyalist.
Yes.
And absolutely. this was like his big release. I mean, this was his like Banjo-Kazooie. He had gotten it and he had talked to me about it and it was out for Game Pass. I've got Xbox Live and I've got Game Pass. So it came out day one for Game Pass, and I was like, well, I'll download it and try it. And it's kind of gorgeous, and I love it.
It was like
an accidental like love story where, like I said, I kind of just did it because Jeremy recommended it to me, and I was like, well, I'll give it a shot, you know, not really expecting too much out of it, thinking I'd just kind of like drive around for a little bit and get bored.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of gorgeous, and I am all about it. And I've already bought one of the cars that I'm thinking about actually getting in real life. I found in their catalogs there's 500 cars or something like that, and I was actually able to find the car that I want in real life, and so I got that, and I've been using it as like a car simulator where I've just been like painting it and putting decals on it and imagining like it being my actual car someday. Yes.
So, honestly, I gotta say, I'm not really a big car person. I did play Forza Horizon 1, I want to say, on the 360 mm-hmm. back in the day, and I adored it. And honestly, like, going with you said, how it looks gorgeous. I mean, it is probably the best looking game that Xbox or Microsoft like puts out in general, like across the board. I mm-hmm. think it's amazing. I got a big kick out of playing it. And, you know, not even me being a car guy and you just want to kind of race around and have some fun. I think it's cool. And then from what I can tell, it does have enough customization and customizable things for people who do know cars and want to change it around and actually understand that stuff, because I sure don't. But it's definitely a fun read. I haven't played it, but if it's anything like the first two, which I know they've gotten better, Forza 2, Forza Horizon, all of them have gotten better. Definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, no, it is. It's super gorgeous. And I'm not trying to be like elitist here or be that guy who's like, I have this. But I've got the Xbox One X, and so I've been playing it in 4K with HDR, and it's just it's insane. It's like it's some of the best eye candy you can get on a console right now. And so I would definitely say if you have an Xbox One X, this is one of those games you should take advantage of, because the Xbox One X is built around making games look even a little bit prettier, because it takes games that run on the Xbox One or PS4. And just bumps it up just a little bit more. Gives it, like, better colors, you know, higher resolution, things like that.
Yes.
And this is, this is maybe one of the best showcases of the Xbox One X's abilities that I've ever seen. Yes. It's the most gorgeous game.
Yes. Speaking of gorgeous games, and for the last topic we have, a trailer was leaked, I guess you'd say.
This is maybe some of my most exciting game news since, like, The Witcher 3 or something. This just has me super stoked.
So we're getting a new Harry Potter.
A new Harry Potter game.
That's not based off the movies.
No.
It's
not even using, like, the Harry Potter characters. It's just, it's like a Hogwarts open world RPG.
It is.
And it's made by Rocksteady.
That's the big one, because Rocksteady obviously done the Rocksteady, Batman Arkham Asylum, Rocksteady games.
They have got some of the best pedigree behind them. If anyone can make this game work, it's going to be them.
So it's going to be like an open world RPG style Harry Potter type of game that looks absolutely stunning. We don't have any type of release dates for it yet or any type of details for it yet. It was just kind of shown. Day one purchase. I got nothing really to say about it. It's going to be a day one. Rocksteady's been kind of silent for a while. They really haven't been putting out a whole lot or talking about a whole lot of things recently. So it makes me think that this game could be just as big, if not bigger than Skyrim, bigger than The Witcher.
And again, take this with a grain of salt.
Yes.
This has not been confirmed. We don't know what exactly this is yet. It could be this by a different company. It could be that it's not even a Rocksteady game. But if this is an actual new Hogwarts game by Rocksteady, this could be one of the coolest things ever put out.
Oh, by a long
shot. With, like, the Harry Potter license on it.
Which, obviously, you know, Harry Potter, even now, is kind of like Star Wars. As long as it's done, they're going to sell.
Yeah.
And it's going to do well. And I'm very much looking forward to it. I'm not a really big, like, super RPG or, you know, MMO type of person, like Witcher, like Skyrim, anything mm-hmm. like that. But you put Harry Potter on it, and I'm already intrigued as it is. I mean, even thinking back to the games that are based off the movies, they're not fantastic by any means, but it was fun.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking Harry Potter Connect. You know, because that one was not fun.
Because we don't talk about that.
No, we don't. Kind of like the Star Wars Connect game. We don't talk about that either.
Harry Potter Connect is like the Voldemort of the Harry Potter video games.
But seeing something like this and have so much potential, and if it is Rocksteady behind it, for how long they've been kind of MIA, I guess you could say, they are really trying to put a lot of love and work behind this thing. And I think they could do very well, and I'm very excited to
get more
information on it.
So far behind this.
Yes. So I think really that's all we had is, you know, we talked a lot about Venom. Everything else we kind of went through. It was kind of hard to talk about a lot of these games because they're so recent. And mm-hmm. then, of course, you know, we've got our own lives to do, too.
Maybe next time around, I know we'll have Goosebumps, too. But maybe next time we can get a little bit deeper into some of these games as we have more time to play them.
Absolutely.
Over the next couple weeks.
Absolutely. So, with that, I think we're going to wrap up episode 11. Mm-hmm. So, I got to get out of here soon. I got some football to go and watch.
Yep. I'm going to go play some board games.
Yes. So, anyway, guys, thank you so much for watching. Please comment, rate, subscribe, leave a comment. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We are on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean.
Everything.
Everything you can possibly imagine.
And if it's not on there, let us know and we will try to get it on there. We are perfectly open to putting in the effort to getting ourselves out there even more. And I know we do have a few new followers. So if you did like us on any of those or all of those,
thank you.
We love you very much.
Thank you. And just to kind of wrap up for me, and I'll talk more about it later, I will be at EXPCon at the World Golf Village November 9th, 10th, and 11th.
Mm-hmm.
Selling some stuff. I'm going to be blasting a lot of things out just for Christmas time. Mm-hmm. So come and see me. And yeah, so again, guys, thanks so much for watching. And we'll see you guys next time.
See ya.